You're listening to the Full Contact Fighter Radio Network.
Hey guys, this is Dennis Kang.
Hey, this is Mr. Cripples, a.k.a. the Cat Smasher.
Hey, this is John the Natural Alessio.
Hey, this is Rashad Evans.
Hey guys, this is the Big Frog, Jeff Curran.
Hey, this is Mac Danzig.
Hey guys, this is Jason the Anthony McDonald.
Hi, this is Ivan Salvey.
Hey everybody, this is Joe Peltier, Jay Dirksen.
Hey, it's Mark Machine Hunting here.
Hey everybody, you are listening to the world's most handsome fighter on the planet. Yes, this is El Guapo, and you are listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio with Kelsey Mowat.
It is the 50th edition of Full Contact Fighter Radio, and we thank you all for joining in to listen to this storied and historical edition of Full Contact Fighter Radio. My name is Kelsey Mo, joining you from Vancouver, British Columbia. Joining us, as always, Mr. Brendan Lear on this very historic occasion. Brendan, how are you doing today, buddy?
Hallelujah.
Yes. It's a remarkable day. I mean, I'd like to say that it should be like a civic holiday up here in Canada. Maybe for the 100th show, I should try to let the local authorities and government in on the fact that it's our 100th episode and maybe give people the afternoon off.
I think that would be a good idea. Yeah. I'm almost surprised when I live 50 more hours in my life, never mind talking the internet radio for 50 hours. So.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. We've come a long ways, man. And I don't know if that's necessarily a good or bad thing, but...
Well, maybe we should just wrap it up now.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for tuning in to the 50th show.
Put a poll on the website.
Yeah. Should we even dare go on to our 51st, or should we just give it a rest? Well, we're going to try to entertain all the MMA fans who've supported us so far through the first 50 shows. We've got a really good show, packed show today. We've got Bar Palowski coming on the program. He's fighting Chris Hordeski at the upcoming IFL February 2nd. We've got Spencer the King Fisher coming on the show. He's fighting Hermes Franca this Thursday. We actually spoke to Spencer on the weekend, and so he's fighting Hermes Franca, which is going to be a great lightweight fight. And then we've got Razor Rob McCullough, Brendan, also coming on the program, who, of course, won the WEC lightweight title this past weekend. So it's a stacked show. All three great lightweight fighters, actually.
It is an engorged show.
Yeah. Well, on that note, we should really get to it. You're listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio.
Mixed martial arts history will be made as the International Fight League continues its 2007 inaugural season, Friday, February 2nd at the Reliant Arena. See Boss Rutan's Anacondas battle Pat Miletich's Silverbacks and Antonio Inoki Sabres face off against Don Fry's Scorpion. Plus, the super fight between MMA legends Matt the Law Lindland and Carlos the Ronan Newton. Be there Friday, February 2nd, 7:30 p.m. at the Reliant Arena. For tickets, call Ticketmaster at 713-629-3700 or log on to Ticketmaster.com.
The best stuff for MMA clothing is definitely the Full Contact Fighter Shop, because with FCF gear, you don't have to be a champion to dress like one. Go check it out by now. I know you've seen it, that classic FCF logo on so many great items, like our classic t-shirts, tricot jackets. We've got new high-quality rash guards, plus the NXP Extreme Fight shorts, which are available in red, black, navy, or camo. Of course, don't forget about our fantastic FCF hoodies, a variety of NHB corduroy and distress wash hats, plus now open is the FCF sticker and banner shop. We've got a wide assortment of International Fight League merch, all your favorite teams there. Just head to www.fcfighter.com or call 516-676-0033. That number again is 516-676-0033.
This is Spencer the Kingfisher, and you're listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio.
Joining Full Contact Fighter Radio now is the Kingfisher, Spencer Fisher, who's going to be fighting Hermes Franca next week at the upcoming Ultimate Fight Night. Spencer, how are you doing this afternoon?
Great.
Spencer, my first question for you, taking on a guy, Hermes Franca, who had a great 2006 year. Some people would say that he had the comeback fighter of the year kind of year, going 7-0 or 6-0, something like that. Do you prepare for a guy who's been on a winning streak like that at all differently, or is that just the kind of thing that doesn't even really enter into your mind?
No, not really. I always try to work on my weaknesses, regardless of who I'm fighting. So, nothing different. I think Hermes is a little more serious fight than my past couple of ones, but I expect every fight from here on out to be a tough one.
Yeah. When you look at a fighter like Hermes, I mean, he's an accomplished grappler, of course. He's got that in his background. He's worked a lot on his stand-up. I guess it's probably no big secret here that you'd probably like to keep this fight standing. That's where you probably have the clearest cut advantage, I would think.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think if I keep this fight standing, it's going to be a long night for Hermes.
We had Dean Thomas on the program earlier this week, and he was saying that in his opinion, he thinks that the winner of this fight between yourself and Hermes might get a title shot. Do you see that in the near future at all, Spencer?
As far as winning and fighting Strength and Battle, if I win this fight?
Yeah.
Well, I've heard that talked about, but I haven't heard anything from my manager, so I don't know.
Okay. You know, the last time we had it on the program, you were just coming off the win over Dan Lozon, and we talked a little bit about Sean Sherka at that point. You know, he's one of those guys right now that a lot of people are saying that he's going to stay on top for a while. Do you agree with that? Do you think that he has a potential to be a champion for a long time? I mean, obviously, you're not going to say that if you're thrown in the mix against him, but I'm talking about if that fight doesn't materialize with even yourself. Do you see Sean Sherk having the tools to be at the top for a while?
Oh, absolutely. Sean's a champion for a reason. You know, he went five rounds with Matt Hughes. So that says a lot about him right there. So, yeah, I think he has the tools right now to stay a champion.
And a lot has even changed in the last few months. As far as the lightweight division, there's new fighters coming in, and of course, there's the lightweight division has so many great competitors in it right now. When you look around and outside yourself or Hermes and that discussion about the possible winner of that fight getting a shot against Sherk, who do you think is someone, a couple guys that could be in line for a title shot? And of course BJ Penn dropping down to 155, so he's probably in the mix too, but who else do you consider as some of the top contenders for Sherk?
Oh, well, for sure Dean Thomas and BJ Penn. And, of course, Jens Pulver, you know, he's had a run of bad luck lately, but he's still, you know, he's always has that punch to turn things around. So those guys are out of the top of my mind, that I can think of. But those are really, that's enough right there. So.
Yeah, and now it's been made official that Jens is going to be one of the coaches on the upcoming Ultimate Fighter season, and BJ Penn will be the other coach, and they're going to fight at the conclusion of that. What's Jens, have you had a chance to talk to him? Was he as excited as he seems to be in some of the interviews that he's done? He seems really excited about this opportunity and the rematch against BJ. Is that your sense as well when you've been seeing him around the Miletic camp, etc.?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He, you know, anytime something Jens is told him that he can't do something, you know, he comes back even stronger. So, yeah, he's excited about this match coming up and excited about being part of things in the UFC again.
And let me ask you this as well. I mean, BJ Penn had gone on the record in a couple different interviews saying that he wanted a rematch with Matt Hughes, and now he's dropped down to 155. Were people around the Miletic camp at all surprised when that happened as far as BJ's jumping down a division?
No, I don't think so. BJ started out at 155, so I think I don't think he walks around much heavier than the 70s anyhow, so making that cut I don't think is a problem for him.
Yeah. And I guess if you look at the history of the Ultimate Fighter, it seems that a lot of people who come through that show end up being whatever division they come out of and taking on some of the more established veterans like yourself. How do you look at that? I mean, rumors aside of who might be in this upcoming season, Spencer, do you guys kind of talk around the gym, et cetera, about, you know, who you've heard that might be involved and what that could mean and certain guys that you might be fighting down the road?
Oh, no, we never look at guys from the reality show or anywhere else for that matter. You know, whoever the UFC and Dana decides, and Joe that decides that we should fight, we fight. You know, I don't look for anybody else out there. I'm not concerned with anybody else out there other than whoever they sign me to the contract to.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Dean Thomas as being another guy who could be a contender, and it's kind of interesting. We had him on the program when we were talking about this, how there's sort of the lightweight division came back first, and people started talking about it again for the first time in a while. Obviously, it wasn't offered for several years. And now it kind of seems like people are starting to look back into the history of the lightweight division again, with Jens coming back and BJ dropping down to 155 and Dean Thomas back competing. It's kind of nice, in a way, to see some attention spent on the history of the lightweight division in the UFC, because it's a great history.
Oh, absolutely. And the most exciting division out there also, I might add.
Yeah. Last time we were on the show, like I mentioned, you come off the win off Dan Lozon, and a lot of people thought that you might end up fighting Joe Lozon, who beat Jens Pulver. Did that ever materialize at all? Do you know of? Did they bring that fight up with Monty Cox at all, or you're not really sure on that front?
Yeah, I think that fight was mentioned, and I think it was offered to him, and for one reason or another, his brother ended up taking it instead. So, yeah, it was mentioned, but I don't know if it was anything else other than just being brought up. So, all I know is what I'm told.
Yeah. And that cell fight, that would interest you, though, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love that fight.
Yeah.
I'd love that fight. You know, he beat one of my teammates, and it'd be kind of a redemption thing for me to go out there and beat up on him.
Meant to ask you, with Gene Thomas as well, having him on the program, and he's taking on a tough wrestler in Clayton Guida, a very energetic, aggressive fighter, and fighting on the same card as your fight with Hermes next week. Do you have a pick on that fight at all, Spencer?
On Dean Thomas and
Clayton Guida?
Yeah, I think Dean will win, for sure.
Yeah.
I just think he has too many tools to stop Clay.
Another big announcement that, of course, interests Team Miličić is Randy Couture's return to the heavyweight division. And we just had Mike Swick on the program, and he was saying that he wasn't surprised about Couture's return and a little bit surprised about the fact he's going to the heavyweight division. How did that strike you guys at Team Miličić? Were some eyebrows raised there when the announcement came that Randy was coming back to fight Tim Sylvia?
Oh, yeah. You know, it is Randy Couture, so you got to take him as a serious threat because look what the man's done. But at the same time, with him going out in the way that he did and trying to come back and fight someone like Tim Sylvia, I don't think is a very smart move for anyone. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to end the same way that it did with Chuck. By knockout.
Well, and as well, when you look at, I mean, and Randy Couture is more known for Roman Greco wrestling and getting into the clinch and taking guys down from that, and Tim's fighting against Jeff Munson. Munson was shooting a lot from the outside, kind of a different style of wrestling, but I know that some of the detractors of this fight are saying, well, look, you know, Munson couldn't get Tim Sylvia down, and when he did, Tim was more than comfortable. Is that how some of you guys are looking at this fight as well, that Randy's really going to have to get inside on Tim, and he's going to have some difficulties doing that to get this fight to the ground?
Oh, I think it's going to be very similar, but different at the same time, because I think that Randy has more tools than Munson does to fight Tim. However, it's the same game plan, and Tim's so big, you know, to get close to him, you're going to have to eat some leather to do so, and I think that's going to be a problem for Randy.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, that's for sure. You know, Spencer, you fight in the UFC, and that's where your home is right now. But of course, Team Miličić is essentially the Silverbacks, who had a great season in the IFL, and they've got action coming up right away. You've got Bart Palowski fighting Chris Hordecki as one lightweight fight that's coming up around the corner, and Bart trains a lot with you guys. How is that for you when you compete in the UFC, and then you guys also have a large stake in the IFL? Are you a big fan of the IFL as well? You must follow it, and I would imagine you might even get out to some of the events when they're on the in your neck of the woods.
Well, you know what, I love MMA altogether, but unless it's my team or you know, friends of mine that are fighting in other organizations, I really don't watch too many other ones, to be honest with you. You know, like I said, unless it's teammates or friends, I'm kind of UFC, you know. Gung ho with that, so you know, but yeah, I support all my team, and I'm excited about watching any MMA event, but mainly the UFC.
Well, I wanted to ask you, I mean, there's a lot of people, when you look on the IFL calendar, that fight just kind of jumps out at you, especially at 155, and that is Chris Hordecki against Bart Palowski. Your thoughts on that fight, Spencer? And in my opinion, that fight has all the could be just be a barn burner.
Well, I don't know the other guy.
Okay. Very well.
Yeah, but Bart's tough as they come, and he's proved over and over again in the IFL, so my money has to be with my teammate.
Well, Chris is a pretty well-known striker, as is, and Bart certainly has worked a lot on his striking, and he's more than comfortable on his feet, so I think that's why there's some hype about this fight coming up. And another thing I wanted to ask you about as well is the upcoming UFC 67, and we had, you know, both Dean Thomas and Mike Swick on the show earlier this week, and I like to sort of get the fighters' perspectives on the UFC, then the guys who fight and compete for the UFC, and how successful a year the UFC had last year, and it just seems like there's no end in sight. What's that like for you, Spencer, when you saw the acquisitions of guys like Quinton Jackson and Mirko Krokop, Heath Herring? Is that something that you guys pay a lot of attention to at Miličić? What were your thoughts on that when you hear that the UFC has made some key acquisitions in that regard?
Oh, I think it's exciting, you know, to bring in, you know, when you do this sport, you want to be the best at it. So bringing in the top fighters is great. So then you really do get to find out who is the best.
And then this weekend as well, the UFC purchased the WEC, and there's a great lightweight matchup with Kid Cope and Rob McCullough, two guys that are known for their striking capabilities. Are you familiar with either of those fighters?
Yeah, I know both of them. I'm actually pretty excited about that fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be a stand-up fight because both those guys are really good Muay Thai guys, but it's an MMA fight, and I don't think we're going to see that, but who knows, we might.
Well, it's funny because I find that when you read forums or people discussing MMA in the lightweight division, they always seem to want to match you up, Spencer, with any of the guys that are known for their striking capabilities. How do you feel about that? I mean, you're obviously a well-rounded fighter, but do you notice that too, that the minute that there's some new 155-pound guys that are more known for the striking, that right away people are saying, hey, let's match him up with Spencer? What are your thoughts on that?
That's great. You know, it feels good to be recognized as someone that is a contender, you know, so that's great. It's a dream come true to have people talk about me.
Yeah.
I guess good or bad press, it's all good for me.
Well, I guess it shows that people find you entertaining. Last time we were on the show, I think the rumor being, well, not necessarily a rumor, but the fight that a lot of fans wanted to see was Mark Hominick versus yourself, and Mark's got a fight coming up in TKO. But, you know, there's just an example of another guy who's known for striking, and people right away say, hey, let's match up so-and-so with the Kingfisher.
Sure. You know, I welcome that fight, you know. That'd be a good barn burner for the fans to watch, and maybe give me something to get really motivated about. So, yeah, that's a really fun fight to have, you know. So let's do it. If that's ever brought up to me, I'm all about it.
Yeah. Question for you is just in regards to Matt Hughes. Last time we had you on the program, that was before his fight with GSP. And anytime we get some of the Miletic guys on, we like to sort of hear their thoughts and maybe get an update. Two-part question. What was that like for you with the loss of GSP? We had Tim Sylvie on the program, and he just basically told us he didn't feel that was the real Matt Hughes in the octagon that night. So I first want to hear your thoughts on his performance that night, and maybe if you agree with Tim's assessment. And then second of all, how do you think he matches up against Chris Lytle?
Matt being the champion as long as he has been, and just being so dominating, I just think people have an off night, you know, and I think that definitely was an off night for him, and George took advantage of it and won the fight. Plain and simple, I don't think there's anything else that can be said about it other than he lost, and next time if they fight, I'm sure it'd be much better, more entertaining, and that would be better prepared. And the fight with Lytle, I just can't see Lytle being able to stop Matt's takedowns. You know, so when he wants a takedown, he usually gets it. So I just see Lytle being put on his back and counted out.
Last question before we let you go then. Prediction for your upcoming fight with Hermes next Thursday?
I look to stop the fight, you know. I don't see it going three rounds. I hardly do any of my fights ever go the distance. And hopefully I'm in good enough shape and keep the pace going. And Hermes has a tendency to seem to tire out a little bit, so I'm going to try to press the pace and get an early stoppage.
All right, well, Spencer the King Fisher, best of luck next weekend next Thursday, rather, on the 25th against Hermes Franca at Ultimate Fight Night. Spencer, thanks for coming on the show again, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks a lot.
They fight for different things. For some, it's for fame. For others, it's a job. Some fighters just like to hurt people. Visit VotogFight.com and see who the fighters are and why winning matters to them. They'll have a chance to win, but only if that next round matters more than anything. View highlights, read fighter bios, watch TV episodes, or see when the next live event is. Don't miss any mixed martial arts action. VotogFight.com. Make it matter.
Have you subscribed to Full Contact Fighter? FCF is the undefeated, no-holds-barred news source of the world, and no avid MMA fan should ever miss an issue. For years now, FCF has been providing MMA enthusiasts in-depth coverage of the world's greatest sport. Each issue contains event reports and photos from across the globe, including coverage from Japan, Brazil, Britain, Canada, and the United States, From fighter bios, technical advice, to training tips, FCF is the only publication that brings you all the MMA coverage you need every month, 12 times a year. Check out www.fcfighter.com for subscription information or call 516-676-0033. Full Contact Fighter, the undefeated, no-holds-barred news source of the world.
Full Contact Fighter.
The undefeated, no-holds-barred news source of the world.
Joining Full Contact Fighter Radio is Razor Rob McCullough, fresh off his big win over Kit Cope at this weekend's WEC. Razor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Chilling. Enjoying my victory, my new belt.
Yeah, and I should have mentioned that as well. One, of course, the WEC lightweight title. My first question for you, Rob, I didn't get a chance to see the fight, but I read a couple of reports about it, and the fight spilled to the ground, I think, maybe a little bit quicker than a lot of people had thought it might, and that's where you had the advantage and won that fight from there. What was your plan going in? Were you planning on standing with Kip for a little bit and just so happened that you saw the opportunity to take it to the ground, or did you plan on trying to take it to the ground thinking that you'd have the advantage?
You know, when I actually watched Kip's videos of his previous fights, I knew he had a huge hole in his MMA game, which was his takedown defense, and his ground game wasn't really up to par. So I knew definitely if I wanted to exploit him, I could. And it had nothing to prove, you know what I mean? I wasn't threatening by any way by his striking, but I knew, hey, if I want to take that belt home, why don't I, take him down and pound him out?
Yeah.
And I knew, being a kickboxer, that's a situation, a position that's not, you know, cool when you're laying with your head cocked up against the fence, getting elbowed in the face. And I just definitely wanted to put him in an awkward, uncomfortable position so I could walk home with that belt. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Rob, one of the things that's always commented about you is you're one of the hardest training athletes in MMA. What do you think? Do you think that Kit Cope took this fight as seriously as you did? He's got his own TV show on Spike, and he's doing a lot of media stuff. And do you think he really took his training as seriously as you? Do you feel that he was as prepared as you were?
I think that he. Yeah, because we were drinking buddies and, you know, acquaintances, that maybe he thought, you know, I don't really know what he think. I think he was kind of joking around. I think he was a little nervous, so the nerves kind of, everybody acted a little different. He took it as a comedic way and sarcastic, and that was fine, but it wasn't going to stop me in any way from pounding his face in.
Well, and that's the thing, is some people, when this fight was announced, I mean, you're both very well accomplished, decorated kickboxers. Had great careers in that sport, but when this fight was announced, there's a lot of people that looked at your record, Rob, and you've got a fairly extensive MMA record, and then Kitt's is only a few fights, and some people said, hey, you know, should this be a title fight in the sense that did Kitt deserve a title shot? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think what the deal was with this whole fight was the fact that Zuffo wanted to come up with a new organization, the WEC, which is not new, but now it's under a whole new. You know, it's under the Zuffo protocol. You know, it's the new establishment. And I think they wanted to show that, you know, strikers are coming back. You know, I mean, the whole MMA scene is kind of, everybody's learning so much on the ground and so much wrestling that strikers are coming back to the top again. And before it was kind of wrestlers, and now I think it's kind of switching over. So I think they wanted to show, you know, a good stand-up war for the fans. But the thing is, if you look at most of my fights, I finished dudes on their feet. So I think you probably thought, let's give Razor a guy who's going to stand and bang with him and see who's better. But I'm not just a one-dimensional kickboxer anymore. I've learned. I've got my beatings, and I've trained my ass up on the ground. I've done a lot of wrestling since, you know, I first started, and it definitely showed Saturday night.
Well, some of the reports have Kit on his back trying to transition you from an omoplata into a go-go plata. Were any of those even close? And those are some fairly advanced techniques for someone who's, sort of a couple years in on the ground.
You know, I roll with a lot of black belts and, you know, and brown belts and stuff. So I didn't feel threatened at all in any position on the ground. I think what happened is I ended up in a rubber guard and he kind of rolled accidentally into an omoplata almost, and then he went to a go-go plata. I didn't feel threatened at any point. But I started to realize I passed, and I was just like, oh, dude, this guy's going to die. I didn't want him to stand it up because I wanted to try to get off some good shots on him and make him pay. But I heard him already breathing kind of heavy, and I was like, wow, I was ready to go 6-5 minute round. So I was like, well, this is like the first 2 minutes, you're going to die.
You mentioned the buyout of the WEC, or the purchase of the WEC by Zuffa. And Rob, you're one of the lightweight fighters that when the UFC was introducing its own lightweight division again, your name was often brought up, and people were wondering if you might head to the UFC. And then there was also speculation that you might have been invited into the Ultimate Fighter Season 5. Can you shed any light on that? Had the UFC had any negotiations with you prior to bring them into the organization before buying out the WEC?
Yeah, well, when I decided that I was going to get back into the sport, because I kind of took a little time off, and I was like, you know, I readjusted my values and everything, and I kind of went, you know, fighting, I love fighting. It's the only thing I really want to do that I could picture myself doing and I really enjoy. But it wasn't really, you know, bringing home the bacon. And it wasn't the factor that I was fighting just purely for money, but, you know, I wanted to buy a home. I wanted to, you know, have a nice car and stuff. And it's like, I was, you know, the fight, the way I was getting paid at the time was not coming up. So I was like, I got a new agent, Ken Favia, and we kind of sat down, we structured a plan, and he's like, you know, all you've got to do is win. And I was like, I can win. That's not a problem. Let's do this. And it was at the time when the lightweight division was not in UFC, and I told him it will come back, and it'll come back big. And it did, and just like we planned, you know, everything's kind of everything gone up. So.
Yeah. Well, have there been any further discussions? I mean, I know that the UFC is going to run the WEC separately, they say. Has there been any discussions as far as if you defend your title a few times in the WEC, perhaps you might transition into the UFC or anything like that?
Yeah, the UFC actually hit me up quite a few times to come in and actually, for due to I got injured in 55 and fight, but the money just wasn't there. You know, they were offering me less than a quarter of what I was getting paid at the time. So I was like, wow, you know, I'm not going to sell out just to fight in the UFC and take a huge pay cut. So I stood my ground and kind of stuck to my guns, and I was like, well, you know, if I don't fight in the UFC ever because they're not giving me the money I want, that's fine. I'm willing to do that. And then, you know, purchasing my contract, and now I get paid for, you know, what I think I deserve, and now I got the belt too, so it's kind of a win-win situation.
Yeah.
Rob, you're obviously a very accomplished Muay Thai fighter, as is Kit Cope. One of the mythologies that's surrounding the new push and new popularity of MMA is that it's really a kind of no-hold-barred, brutal, the toughest sport that you can do. But in all honesty, what's your perspective on that, coming from a Muay Thai background? When, you know, even if you get into a fight that you win, you literally have the crap kicked out of you. Is it kind of amusing to you that these MMA fighters are being seen as the toughest dudes and with the toughest training?
Well, I'm definitely gonna have to say that it is the toughest training that you can do in any sport. I've done quite a few sports, and I'm definitely gonna say this is the ultimate training. I mean, you have to know how to wrestle, you have to know how to do jiu-jitsu, you have to know how to punch and kick, you have to be in good cardio shape, you have to have muscle endurance, you have to, you know what I mean, all these factor in, and it's, not only that, you have to find training partners that are willing to take ass kickings all the time for fights, you know, in return. So, I definitely would say this is, the training for it is ridiculous. As far as comparing it to Muay Thai is a lot more brutal. Win or lose, you walk out of that fight, you're probably both going to be either cut up or not walking. You know, when you walk away winning, you're still probably limping. So, I don't know, you know, it's kind of a 50-50. I mean, in reality, an ultimate fighter would take down a Thai boxer like we saw on Saturday and pound his face in. But, as far as brutality, I mean, you put two Thai boxers and they Thai box each other, I mean, that's a lot of serious pounding.
Well, for, you know, there's a lot of MMA fans, especially in the California area, that are well familiar with your career, Rob. But for those people who maybe aren't as familiar with the WEC or are newer to the sport, tell us a little bit about why you transitioned from Muay Thai to mixed martial arts. Why did you decide to enter into MMA competition instead?
Well, training with my best friend Tiki and my other best friend Tito Ortiz, and they kept saying, "Come to the dark side, man. You know, come do this." And I was kind of like, you know, it was before Tito even had the belt and he was fighting. And I was like, well, you know, we all train in the same gym, and when we get ready to train, we'd all go together. We'd run together. I wouldn't really lift weights with them. They were lifting, and, you know, they were wrestling. And, you know, joking around because they were friends, you know, we'd roll around and stuff, and I was like, oh, you know, it's just fun and all. But I thought in the back of my mind, I'd just kick you in the face and the fight would be over. Then when I started, you know, getting into it, I started realizing, wow, dude, this is, you know, a lot of stuff I don't know. And there's a lot of stuff I got to learn. And it kind of intrigued me and kind of pushed me to keep learning, keep, you know, learning more moves and positions, and it made it fun. And it kind of brought back the whole, oh, this is fun. It kept me in the gym, you know what I mean? So I was like, it's like a chess match. How many moves do you know?
Yeah. Well, but Kit Cope seemed to come into MMA with a highly acclaimed background, and sort of kind of got thrown in against you know, the cream of the crop. Do you think he has a future in MMA? And what does he? What would he have to do? You know, sizing up your opponent. What would he have to do to have some success in MMA?
I believe it. That Kit Cope is he's a good guy. You know what I mean? He's got some good skills on his feet. He definitely needs to. He needs to sit back and reevaluate his wrestling skills. That's the key component he's missing right now. I think defend the takedown, keep himself on his feet, and you know he can pounce and dudes out. He's got a ridiculous reach advantage at 155 at 6 feet 1 inch. But you know, I knew if I got his hips, I was gonna toss him around. And I'm not, you know, I mean, the best of wrestlers, so it was kind of funny to go, okay, well, I knew the takedown was there at any time. So if I think if he starts wrestling, you know what I mean, he went for some moves on the ground, he'll feel a little bit more comfortable.
Rob, you're one...
Maybe he comes trains with me. He'll get a better career.
Well, you're one of the unique fighters that actually competed for both the WFA and the WEC, which are both have been bought out by Zuffa and the UFC. And I just want to ask you, you know, after your fight in the WFA, which you won, did you sort of see the cracks in the wall, so to speak? Did you feel the sink shipping a little bit with the WFA? Did you have a sense that the great promise that had been the WFA might not actually come to fruition?
No, I was pretty, you know, I had a 3-fight deal with them. I was pretty excited for it. You know, the money was good. It seemed to be, you know, doing a pretty good relationship with them. And then they pushed my October fight to December, and I was kind of like, wow, that was a pain in the ass. And I was positive. I stayed positive. I was like, no, well, it's more time to train. You know, I'll get some more tricks in my bag. And they pushed my December fight. And then I started going, okay, I got friends and family that are buying tickets, playing tickets and hotel reservations, and, you know, now I'm looking like an asshole. And I'm like, this is starting to piss me off. This is time out of my life that I'm not, you know, partying with my friends. And then, you know, I'm in the gym, which I love to do, but it's like, okay, you know what I mean? It's like blue balls, you know what I mean? I'm watching... It's ridiculous. So, yeah, I'm excited that the WEC got bought out by Zuffa and they picked up my contract.
Rob, I got a question for you now that you're the lightweight champion for WEC and you look around, immediately there's a couple other lightweights in the organization. Any word on who you might defend against? And is it your sense that they're going to stay within the organization, maybe like a Rich Crunkleton or someone like that? Or do you...
I don't know. It could possibly be Crunkleton. I've heard Tara Alexis maybe. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in doing would you be interested in doing like a crossover if they ever wanted to keep the organizations apart but have joint titles at some point? Would you be interested in something like that?
Like a unification?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I'm here to fight, and that's all I want to do. And that's what I love to do. Now, if I wasn't doing it here in the Octagon, I'd be doing it somewhere probably in the street. Hopefully running away so I don't get arrested. So here I'm getting paid, and I'm getting all my buddies and everybody just come watching on a huge forum like Las Vegas. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm stoked that I get paid to do something I love to do.
And did you notice?
You seem like the obvious type of fighter that could solve Sean Sherk. So would you look forward to a fight like that? You think you would be up for that?
For sure. Anybody to put in front of me, I'm down. I'm game. Sherk or anybody else. Right? Somebody with a belt would be nice. Unify it would be pretty sweet.
Well, Rob, what did you notice as far as this was the UFC's first event with the WEC, the first time that they put together the show, and obviously there's some pretty marquee matchups. You're a Faber on the card, and they brought in Carlos Condit, some other bigger name guys. Did you notice any kind of difference? Was there a different sort of buzz in the air this time around because it's
for
UFC?
Sure.
Yeah.
For sure. The WEC guys are like family. I fought in so many shows now up in Lemoore and stuff. So coming out here was different. You know, we're already in Vegas, which is like my second home. But, you know, the Zuffa guys, the whole, you know, it was like being at UFC. I've been behind the scenes with Tito and everybody so many times. it was kind of like, you know, it's like the UFC, same protocol. So it's stepped up. I already liked the WC to begin with, but now it's like it's first rate, it's first class. I'd definitely say it's comparable to the UFC.
Brennan, you have anything else for Rob?
That's it, Rob. Congratulations, and I look forward to seeing you fight. Yeah, is there any talk about when those fights are going to be on television?
I don't know. I wish I had a date, but I know it's on the Versus channel, so hopefully soon.
All right, Razor Rob McCullough again, winning the lightweight championship for the WC, taking out Kid Cope. Rob, thanks for coming on the program, and best of luck in the future.
For sure. Thank you.
Does your neighborhood sound like this every night? Well, if it does, maybe it's time you get ready to rumble and pick up some instructional martial arts DVDs from the Full Contact Fighter website. FCFighter.com is a great assortment of DVDs, and if you feel you can learn how to scrap just by watching the pros fight, then take a look at our great selection of MMA events from all over the globe. FCS prices will not be beat. Head to www.fcfighter.com or call 516-676-0033. That number again, 516-676-0033.
Hey guys, this is the Big Frog, Jeff Curran, and you're listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio.
Joining Full Contact Fighter Radio is Bartimus, Mr. Bart Palowski. I believe, Bart, you're en route to do some more training, is that correct?
Yep, drive to Iowa, get the last few workouts in before the fight.
Right. Bart, of course, is going to be taking on Chris Hordeski at the upcoming IFL in Houston on February 2nd. And Bart, I want to ask you about that fight. A lot of people are really excited about that fight. Two guys that are definitely known for their stand-up capabilities. A lot of people are expecting a stand-up fight. Is that your game plan? Are you going to let us in on what you want to do against Hordeski?
I never have a game plan going into any of the fights. I just kind of go with the flow. So, you know, if I'm comfortable on my feet, I'm going to try to keep it on my feet. You know, if, you know, I'm getting beat up on my feet, I'm going to obviously try to take him down. It's, you know, I'm not out to try to prove anything. I'm out, you know, try to win a fight. So, like I said, you know, I have nothing. I never go in with a game plan to a fight. I train my grappling, my wrestling, my stand-up. You know, same way for every fight, you know, condition, lift. I mean, the training doesn't change ever. So, like I said, just going in there and, you know, whatever feels comfortable, you know, whatever is working the best at the time, that's what I go with.
And as I mentioned, there is a lot of excitement about this fight. I mean, it's two of the IFL's better lightweight fighters. Chris has had a great start to him, his MMA career. I believe he's 6-0, 7-0 in that area. And you yourself, I mean, you've won over 10 fights in a row, haven't lost since, I guess, the loss of Clayton Guida in 2005. I know you've done some training with Chris. What's your relationship like with Chris? I mean, you both have Polish ancestry. There's some familiarities there. You've trained together. Is this a tough fight for you from that standpoint?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, tough is a Chris is a tough kid. You know, he's got you know, great record. He's 7-0. He's got 6 knockouts. You know, he's got a lot of heart. A big gas tank. You know, good wrestler. He's got a really good stand up. Obviously, he's coming up from Team Tompkins. So, I'm not taking anybody lightly. I've done that before, and I've either had a really hard fight or I've lost the fight. So. You know, I prepare for Chris, even though he's got 7 fights, I'm going to prepare for him as far as if I was fighting somebody, you know, like, you know, just, you know, anybody. Mm-hmm. As, you know, number one ranked guy in the world, I'm going to prepare the same way as if I was preparing for Chris. So I'm not, you know, I'm not going to take anybody lightly anymore. I'm just want to, you know, if I over-prepare, that's great. If, you know, as long as I don't know to prepare for a fight.
And I've talked to you about Chris in the past for the FCF paper, and you guys are familiar with each other, right? You've done some training. You guys are you? Would you say that you're casual friends, or is it more just you've trained together once or twice?
The connection between me and Chris is actually a secondary connection, I guess. We're grapevine. Jeff Curran, who I started my training with, I still train with him, obviously. You know, back and forth between Jeff and past plays. Jeff has actually kind of got like a, almost like an alliance, you can say, between Team Tompkins and him. time. You know, he helps all of his guys with the ground game and everything, and it's been going for quite a while now. So Chris and I just, you know, we've known each other through that. You know, me and Jim going up to Canada and training up there, and then the boys coming out by us and training, you know, in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, and another interesting focal point with this fight is the fact that you both are coming off wins over Ryan Schultz, and both were able to stop Ryan Schultz, a very tough Team Quest fighter. For those people maybe who didn't get to see your fight with Ryan, Bart, maybe just do a quick rundown for us.
Fight with Ryan, huh?
Yeah.
Super tough guy, you know, he's really strong, you know, aggressive. He was coming forward the whole time. I don't want to go in there swinging with him, because then you're going to get taken out, which I got taken out a couple times anyway. You know, just try to counterpunch with him. I was, you know, picking his head apart a little bit, his face apart, and, you know, in the mix, you know, we were both throwing at the same time. I guess I got the cleaner shot, and, you know, I put him down with it. You know, I've said it before, you know, if I land one clean shot, I know I can put most people down, so... that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking to throw a 20-punch combo and try and catch you with something. I'm going to take me the whole fight to land that one big shot, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm waiting for.
And then before that, you had a big win over Ivan Menjivar, a very well-accomplished, highly regarded fighter. He's competed in K-1 Heroes. He's been in the UFC. You got the split decision victory over Ivan. What was that fight like for you, Bart? There was a lot of people... I think it's safe to say a lot of people are picking Ivan to beat you in that fight. And then there was others that said, hey, Ivan usually fights at 145. Jumping up to 155 is going to be a stretch. And you indeed, I guess, proved that point. What was that fight like for you, Bart? And what were your thoughts on Ivan?
Well, first of all, I think I got ripped off. I think I won all three rounds, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. I dropped him in the first round bad. That fight was a lose-lose situation for me, to tell you the truth. If I would have lost to him, it would have been like, oh, you know, Bart got beat by a 45-pounder. And then I beat him, and it's like, oh, you know, Jeff beat Bart beat a 45-pounder. It's like, no matter what, I can't get it right. But, you know, you gotta look at his record. He fought at 45, you know, how many times? 2-3 times, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's fought at 170, he's fought at 55. Most of his career was at 55. You know, I mean, when Jeff Kern fought Menjivar at 155 pounds, when Jeff Kern was a 45-pounder, there was no, oh, you know, Menjivar beat a 45-pounder. It was, hey, Menjivar beat a, you know, Jeff Kern.
Yeah.
There was no, you know, speculations about the fight, you know. Menjivar's, you know, when he fought in K1 MMA, he fought at 55.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I fought him at 55, and it's like, oh, Bob beat a 45-pounder. No big deal. And it's... I guess it was a lose-lose situation for me, but anyway, it was, you know, a tough fight. Couldn't put him away. I've hit him with some big shots, and, you know, he's an experienced guy. He's been all over the world. He's fought some tough guys, but like I said, they gave me a split decision, which I felt it was kind of unfair to me, but whatever.
The whole IFL experience for you, and there's a great story on you right now in Full Contact Fighters, or last month's edition, and... You talk a little bit about what it's meant for you to get into the IFL and going to train with Miletic Camp. You already mentioned that you split your training between Miletic and Jeff. For those people who didn't get a chance to see that story, Bart, maybe tell us a little bit about that. What it has the move to the IFL meant for you, not only in your personal life, but as well as for your professional life?
Actually, it means a lot. You know, I've got over 30 fights professionally, and I was pushing and pushing and pushing. I was at the point where, you know, make it or break it almost, you know. I mean, I was fighting for, like everybody else, for peanuts for years, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've never fought super, like, top-ranked guys, but I've had some tough fights and, you know, no recognition for them. So, professionally, you know, it was a really big... I guess honor, you know, you can say, you know, my work finally paid off, getting it with a big promotion. And with the personal life, it was perfect timing, I guess, because, you know, a few months after I signed with the IFL, I found out I got a little baby on the way. So personal life and the financial life, it kind of, you know, it's perfect timing, I guess, for me.
And there's a great line in that story, in the Full Contact Fighter story, where you talk about you come mostly from a jiu-jitsu background, then you switched it and started concentrating on your stand-up more so in the last little while. And there's a great line about how you refer to jiu-jitsu as your wife and boxing. Well, I don't want to spoil the line. Maybe do you remember that line, Bart? I think some of the listeners would like to hear it.
I kind of stole from Pedro's hard jiu-jitsu instructor. He always said that the guard in jiu-jitsu is like your mom. You know, no matter what you do, you know, you can always get it back, and she always will take you back. You know, I kind of switched that with my boxing because, you know, everybody thinks I'm a stand-up guy, but my roots are in jiu-jitsu. That's where I started with. You know, that's my foundation. You know, I'm a purple belt. I've been training with jiu-jitsu for, I don't know, 10 years.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I like standing up with people because when I started training boxing, I just fell in love with it. And it's just a lot less exerting on you in the fight, I guess. It's not as physical. I don't have to, you know, move another body. I can just throw my hands, and it's just easier on me, I guess. But, yeah, it's like, you know, I said jiu-jitsu is like my wife, and boxing is my mistress, you know. If it doesn't work with my boxing, I can always go back to my wife, and she'll always love me because she never knew about my mistress.
Yeah, that's a good line. I'm curious to see what the mother of your upcoming child thinks of that line, but... yeah, <it's...
laughs> She's right next to me.
Okay. Nice. And tell us a little bit about, as you mentioned, you started with Jeff Curran, and then there was an opportunity through the IFL... And the Silverbacks and Pat Miletich were looking for a lightweight. So tell us a little bit about how that came about and how you ended up being part of the Silverbacks.
That's actually a big grapevine. It was, IFL didn't even start yet. Monty mentioned something to Jeff, and Jeff mentioned something to me. It was years ago, and, you know, he threw an idea at me, and we were just talking about it, and I was like, that's kind of stupid. You know, I thought it was retarded, but like I said, it was way before... they even told me that they're looking for a lightweight. And then, I don't know, about a year and a half passed by, and actually I remember exactly, me and Jeff were driving to Wisconsin to pick up some couches or some furniture around. Anyway, you know, she's like, you know, Monty told me that Pat is looking for a lightweight for his team, and what do you think about it? I'm like, well, I think a good shot for me. And he's like, you know, it's big commitment, a lot of travel, you know, you're going to have to go to Iowa, or move to Iowa, you know, I mean, he told me the whole scoop, I was like, well, let's do it. So, what we had to do was drive to Iowa, and Pat had me train with all of his guys, and, you know, he must have liked what he saw. He shot me an email a few days later, and he said that I'm in, so ever since then, you know, obviously I'm on the team, but I didn't move to Iowa. I don't really want to move to Iowa. You know, all my family's in Illinois, and, you know, Pat's really cool about that. You know, he's letting me train with him 3-4 days a week and then come back to Jeff and train there. My boxing coach is there. My jiu-jitsu coach is there. My wrestling coach is there. My strength and conditioning coach is there. I mean, everybody's in Illinois, you know?
Yeah.
So I get all of my, you know, strength, weight, and running, all the technical work, I guess, and in Illinois, plus some, you know, sparring and grappling. Obviously, we have a lot of tough guys there, and then all of my most of my sparring and wrestling I get in Iowa.
Now, that the upcoming IFL card in the second is headlined by a pretty huge main event, and that's Carlos Newton versus Matt Lindland. And I'd like to hear your thoughts as a fighter on that fight, Bart. Who do you expect to come out of that one?
I'm going to have to call on Lindland to win that fight. I think it's just going to be too big for Carlos, for one. Carlos fought at 85, but he doesn't belong at 85. He belongs at 170 in my eyes. Mm-hmm. And Lindland is just such a superior wrestler that I think he can put him down and just take him out. You know, TKO, probably second round if it even goes that far. You know, he took Jeremy Horn out in the second round, TKO would have been.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and Jeremy Horn is just an amazing fighter, so I think he's going to roll through Carlos.
And when you look at the rest of the Anacondas versus Silverback matchups, and then that's who, of course, your team's fighting, there's, I mean, it's great down the line. You got Jay Heron versus Roy Markham, Ben Rothwell versus Krzysztof Soszynski. I mean, it's just the matchups between both your guys' teams. Is the IFL getting to that point? We've had other guys from the Silverbacks on, Roy Markham, Ben Rothwell, and they talk about the fact that some of the fighters look at the other teams and actually go over the rosters and try to make predictions on as to, you know, what might be a future opponent for the Silverbacks in the semifinals or finals for that matter. Are you one of those guys, Bart? Do you look around the rest of the league? Do you have some teams out there that you figure could be top competition for the Silverbacks this year?
Tell you the truth, Anacondas are going to be the toughest team that we're going to face in the actual season. You know, all the teams have the three matchups.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we have the February matchup, the April, and the May matchup. Everybody's doing the, like I said, the preseason or the season fights. And I think that Anacondas are going to be the toughest ones of all of them. I think if we get through Anacondas, I think we're going to get to semifinals. If we get through Anacondas, we're going to get to semifinals for sure. You know, I don't know who's going to be in the finals or semifinals in that.
Do you see the Wolfpack being in the mix as well again this year?
Excuse me?
Do you see the Wolfpack being in the mix again this year?
I see them up there. I think the Anacondas, obviously our team, Wolfpack, and I don't know. I want to see the Russians fight. You know, the Russian team, man, they're always I don't know what's about the Russians, but they're always good athletes. So, well, you can't forget the Canadians, right?
That's right, buddy.
the way it looks, I mean, they got another tough fight, right? They're bringing in Wagney Fabiano. Actually, you know, I would love to fight Wagney. That'd be, I think, be a fun fight too. You know, he beat one of my teammates, Matt Fiordoso.
Mm-hmm.
He just fought Jeff Curran. You know, he went to a decision with Jeff.
Yeah.
But then once again, he's 5'45", so. another lose-lose situation for me.
Yeah, we've come full circle.
Like I said, in Condos, I think are going to be the toughest season fights, and then I'm not even looking that far. You know, it's one fight at a time for me.
Yeah.
You know, I know who most likely, but, you know, things happen.
You're breaking up a little bit again, Bart.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's all right.
All I said is I'm just looking, you know. It's one fight at a time for me. I'm not looking a couple fights ahead because, you know, injuries happen and, you know, if the replacement has to come in, you know, you never know who the replacement might be. You know, the replacement might get hurt, so they might have to bring another person in. I mean, you never know.
Mm-hmm. Well, my last question for you is, we were talking to Matt Danzig earlier today, and he mentioned that you're in his corner for his weekend fight against Clay French. What were your thoughts on that fight, Bart? Split decision went to Clay French. Mac Danzig, of course, just announced he signed with Pride. He's going to be taking Hayato Sakurai at the upcoming card. But what were your thoughts on that fight between Danzig and French? Did you agree with the decision?
Just to kind of clear up, you know, Mac, I've known for, you know, just through shows and stuff. We're not, like, really friends. I'm closer, actually, with Clay.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little, you know, talk about it, and, you know, he was kind of upset at the call, I guess. But, you know, I don't, you know, just to clear up, I'm better friends with Clay than I was with Mac, and I think Clay lost the fight, tell you the truth. The reason being, it was a close fight, very close fight.
Mm-hmm.
But in a close fight like that, you got to give the benefit to the doubt to the champion.
Right.
You know? Not taking anything away from Clay, obviously. You know, he was very aggressive coming forward, but I think Mac did more damage. And like I said, you know, in the very close fight like that, you got to give the benefit of the doubt to the champion.
Yeah, I was interested to hear your perspective because I know you're from Illinois and so is Clay. So I was curious to hear your opinion, and I know there's some different discussion on some of the chat forums and whatnot about who won that fight. So I just wanted to hear your point of view. So.
Oh yeah, like you know, he was very aggressive. Clay was coming forward, you know, throwing, but Mecca just did you know a lot more damage, and that's how I score my fights on damage. I don't care. You know, you might be on the bottom, you might get taken down, but if you're hitting somebody, in my eyes, you're winning the fight. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're punching the guy from the, I don't care, from your back or from the mouth or from wherever you are, you know, even if like myself, I'm a counter puncher, if somebody swings at me, they're coming forward, they throw a big bomb, then they miss and I counter punch and I hit him with two or three shots, in my eyes, you know, I'm winning the fight. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm doing the damage, not him, even though he's coming in, even though he's pushing the pace.
Well, Bart, you are breaking up a little bit. I know you're on the road, we'll let you go. But thanks a lot for coming. Thanks for coming on the show. And Bart Palowski, of course, fighting Chris Hordeski at the upcoming IFL February 2nd show. Bart, best of luck on the 2nd, and take care.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.